Okay, calling into program, Ian Trottier here, Discuss Your Truth. Edward Jacob Lang, ladies and gentlemen, Jake Lang. Jake, are you there?
Yeah, hey brother, I'm here. Hey, what's up, Ian?
Jake, thanks for joining the program. Nice to connect with you finally. You've been busy lately, huh?
January 6th community has been just in a moment of a victory here with the Supreme Court accepting the 1512 obstruction of Congress charge. My legal team filed it first. One of three people that ended up filing, they accepted us, and we're going to the big leagues, brother.
Okay, so Jake, first off, I want you to talk about what that is, the obstruction of Congress, and how SCOTUS has agreed to look at that lower court ruling. Explain what that is. But first off, for folks that aren't familiar with who you are and what happened to you January 6th of 2021, give that background for listeners, if you would.
Yeah, thanks, Ian. So my name's Jake Lang. I'm 28 years old. I'm from New York. I was 25 years old on January 6th, but I've been incarcerated now for nearly 3 years, over 1,000 days without a trial. 24 months almost of that has been in solitary confinement of those 3 years. I'm in solitary confinement now. I'm in the Washington, D.C. jail gulag. I'm in the hole, which is the basement unit in the jail, solitary confinement, where they segregated me out. Trying to put a target on my back and torture me into a plea deal. But we won't bend, we won't fold, we won't break, we won't surrender to tyranny and to injustice. And I'm sitting here for nearly 3 years because I was a Gen 6 patriot. I showed up at the Capitol to stand up for our constitutional rights, for free and fair elections, and against communist coup d'etat, the installment of Joe Biden as a puppet regime leader bought and paid for by China. And I'm a patriot. I'm proud to be a Jan Sixer.
So, Jake, what took you to D.C. that day? Did you have some information that there might be some type of a uprising? Why is it that you went to the Capitol on that particular day?
Well, I don't think anybody had that information because it was not a planned out event like that. It was a peaceful gathering to support President Donald Trump at the Ellipse by the White House. And then we walked down Constitution Avenue kind of impromptu after that to go protest outside the Capitol. I went down there like most Americans. I was sick and tired and fed up with the COVID lockdown, that tyrannical takeover of America by the Democrats. I'm from New York. I'm upstate, but I've lived in New York City for the last 7 years. And, you know, I was tired. My city got destroyed by the coronavirus farce, the scam. And so, you know, that including the stolen election, including, you know, the threats of Joe Biden taking away, you know, our gun rights and pushing abortion and transgenderism and all the stuff that the Marxists are doing to our country, all those things culminated in a million people showing up to the Capitol on January 6th to fight peacefully, you know, as they say, politically fight the fight against the stolen election.
Yeah. Did you have any background in law enforcement at all, Jake?
No, I don't have, I have no criminal record, and I was a college wrestler, and I'm an entrepreneur from New York, but I have no background in law enforcement or military service. But I feel as now, as many Americans do, I am serving my country, doing my duty as a patriot for the last 3 years in the gulag as a prisoner of war.
So you walk, and you got a lot going on, ladies and gentlemen. Jake's got a lot going on. He's fortunate in the sense that he's got his own podcast. It sounds like, Jake, from where you're at in D.C. for being locked up. But and we'll get into that a little bit, and we'll talk about Patrick Byrne, and we'll talk about SCOTUS here. I just want to set the stage a little bit more for folks that I want them to understand where you are coming from, and let's get into your experience. So You were. It sounds like you were up by the White House, by the Ellipse. The president was speaking up there, and after he spoke, you walked down to the Capitol. What was the scene that you saw unfolding as you approached the Capitol building, and you got, did you get inside the Capitol building? Walk listeners through that experience from that day for you, Jake.
100%. So, you know, January 6th, guys, was like the Woodstock of patriotism. The Spirit of God was so present over the crowd. People were singing hymns, praying together, chanting patriotic chants. It was a beautiful, beautiful event. At the Capitol, you couldn't really see much because there was such a swarm of people and you're stuck in the middle of the swarm. So we're just a big, you know, sheep herd of people are approaching the Capitol. We're all very happy and stuff like that. And we start smelling, baby, what is that smell? What are those noises going on up front? And then so I went and I climbed up the scaffolding to get a better viewpoint. And when I climbed up the scaffolding, I took out my phone. I was recording from up there. And there was a semicircle police bike rack of police officers in this position. And from there and from an elevated position, they were launching munition charges on a static, peaceful crowd. Concussion grenades, tear gas canisters, pepper ball bullets, rubber bullet knee knockers. And they were even dragging women up over the bike racks over. And I caught this personally on my cell phone. I videotaped it. And I'm videotaping the scene where these cops pull this woman up over the bike rack. They drag her back like 20 feet. And then they Rodney King-style beat her. These uniformed tyrants, like four or five of them on top of her, kicking her, hitting her with batons. And when I saw that, my blood ran cold. I turned to the guy next to me. I said, they're beating the heck out of that poor kid. And he said, dude, that's a lady. And when I heard that was a woman, I realized that this was no longer a peaceful protest. This was like a declaration of war, but it was an attack on the police, on our own Capitol police officers at the United States Capitol at the People's House, on an unarmed American crowd, a civilian crowd. And basically at that point, I realized, well, I'm a young man. I got to start defending these people from this police onslaught. And, you know, me and a bunch of other Jan 6 Patriot men, we ended up doing just that. And that's why I'm in here today, you know, and the numbers tell the story better than I can, Ian. Four Jan 6 people died that day, four unarmed civilians. Ashley Babbitt was shot in the throat, murdered at point-blank range by Officer Michael Byrd, a murderer. Roseanne Boylan was murdered in my arms, a 38-year-old woman from Georgia. She was bludgeoned to death, trampled, and chemically asphyxiated through Capitol Police, hitting her with so much pepper spray when she was on the ground. I was trying to save her out of this dog pile at about 4:20 p.m. in the afternoon on the West Terrace Tunnel side, a very famous scene of horrible, horrific police brutality. And she ended up dying. And then two men also died from getting hit with concussion grenades, flashbangs, and they had heart attacks.
These men had heart attacks.
We defended our lives and defended our soil.
Jake, you there? I don't know if we're breaking up or if we're losing you or your reception's back. Can you hear me, Jake?
Yeah, I'm here, brother. When did you lose me?
Okay, so describe for listeners the woman that died. It sounds like she died in your arms.
Yeah, Roseanne Boylan was virtually killed in my arms. I mean, I'm on the ground with her, pulling at her lifeless body. She was stuck underneath a bunch of other patriots. The Capitol Police were pummeling people over on top of her and many other people. At 4:20 p.m., the situation transpired on the West Terrace Tunnel, which is that famous tunnel that the president walks out of to do the inauguration right there on the at the Capitol on that little dais there. And so that was the scene of a lot of police brutality and violence there that day. And I was there for 3 hours in that tunnel, defending the people around me, the women, the elderly people, our country, our Constitution. And this woman, Roseanne Boylan, got caught in this this police. They did this mass push, basically, to get people out of the tunnel. And she collapsed inside the tunnel, and police pummeled people over on top of her. She was trampled, and there was later video of Officer Lyle Morris beating her lifeless body on the ground. with a wooden stick that she had, and you know, she also was doused in so much pepper spray that she was asphyxiated by it, and she gave way to all of these injuries. I'm seen on video yanking at her, pulling at her, trying to save her and dislodge her from this dog pile. Father God took her home that day. I was not able to save her, but I moved. I saw another man, literally, as I'm holding on Roseanne for a couple minutes, this young black man named Philip Anderson. He's like 30-something years old, 33 years old, from Texas. And he's holding Roseanne Boylan's hand as she dies. He's got his tongue hanging out of the side of his head. He's unconscious. He's in the same scenario as Roseanne, but his chest is exposed. And what I'm able to do is I'm able to get in there, bear hug him, and pull him out of that horrible human dog pile that the Capitol Police created. Deadly, mercilessly created that dog pile as I was screaming, throwing my hands up, stop signals, telling them there's people dying. They didn't care. They threw more people on top. But I was able to pull Philip out, bring him to the volunteer Patriot medics, and they resuscitated him. This video is gone mega ultra viral plenty of times, and it's the kind of like the highlight video of my documentary on Rumble. That's the number one viewed video ever on Rumble, The Truth About January 6th. So you can go and watch this actual video of me pulling Philip Anderson's body out of this dog pile that the Capitol Police created, that same dog pile Roseanne Boylan died in, Ian.
So let me ask you a question, Jake. You're an innocent patriot, showing your support for country and president. You decide to go to D.C. that day. As events began to turn sour, if you will, did you ever see anything that gave you an indication that this might be an Antifa, or let's just call it a deep state? Let's call it a deep state insurrection. Was this the media, Jake, is men like you are behind bars. The media, from my perception shows that this was an event that was provoked by Trump supporters. However, I'm asking you if you have any reason to believe that perhaps it was a false flag, if you will. Was this somehow a designed attack to make Donald Trump look like an enemy? What's your take on that?
January 6th was most certainly an orchestrated event between the hundreds of federal officers and confidential human sources and agitators inside the crowd, to the Capitol Police's orders to fire on a static, peaceful crowd. All of that was orchestrated by the Democrats and, you know, by the globalist elite there, Nancy Pelosi, Schumer, you know, all these people, Kamala, Biden, all these people. They had the most to gain. And any single time that stuff like this happens, you always, if you want to find out who did it, look at the people who had the most to gain. And they had the most to gain by painting Donald Trump and his supporters as domestic terrorists. But at the same time, while that is true, at the same time, I was part of that.
You have 1 minute remaining.
And I can tell you without a doubt, the spirit of 1776, the spirit of tyranny fighting, you know, freedom loving, liberty or death, was upon us that day. And we weren't going to back down as our country was sold short to China. We were there peacefully to protest, and we were there strongly to protest. But when they turned their weapons against us, we said, this is our soil, this is the people's house. And guess what? We're taking it, because you're not going to start murdering people in front of me. I'm a young man. And I can't ever look at myself in the mirror ever again if I were to run away from that instead of defend those people and defend my country. And so it was an orchestrated event, but the American patriots didn't just sit down and get brutalized by these tyrants, uniformed tyrants. We stood up, we defended ourselves and our country.
Who do you believe it was initiative? Now, I heard a 1 minute prompt.
I'll call you back. Ian, it's going to hang up on me. I'll call you right back.
All right. Fair enough. Who do you believe initiated
this? Thank you for using Global Cell Link.
Let me get Jake Ling to call us back here. Okay. So he's disconnected. We'll continue to dig, folks, and get Jake's perspective of what experienced that day, what he was charged with. And as you heard, he it sounds like he's in solitary confinement at the moment. So we'll ask him. He'll ask him what kind of rules and regulations he's having to abide by. But certainly he's got contact with the outside world to get his message out to the general public and to really what is becoming American media, right? So this is no longer the mainstream media. Folks, if you've listened to me before, you realize that media in America is not American. It's not. It's controlled by the Council on Foreign Relations, folks, which is essentially administered through the Royal Institute of Foreign Affairs of the City of London, and that is the basic narrative fed to the American people, which is designed and engineered to support this global banking schematic out of Switzerland. Anyway, so the Bank of International Settlements controls all central banking systems. The Federal Reserve, the U.S., is one of those instruments that is controlled by this centralized banking organism out of Switzerland. So the media benefits the corporations that are involved, of course, in that centralized instrument or apparatus, rather. So as we wait for Jake to phone us back in, here we are. Bring Jake back on with us. Okay, Jake, are you there? Can you hear me?
Ian.
Yeah, we got you. Okay, hey, so, brother. Yeah, so anyway,
hey,
so, go ahead.
I've got 6 minutes right here, and I have another interview at 3:30. If we could wrap it up in that time, or if you want to record again at like 3:45, I can call you back.
Let's try to get as much as we can in that 6 minutes. I've got to get out of town, so it's not going to work. Anyway, so let's get that 6 minutes going. What I want you to do, Jake, okay. I want to give this time to you because I can comment, but I want you to give listeners the information you feel they should be having. Take your 5.5 minutes and go.
Thanks, Ian. Yeah, guys, so, I mean, this is a pivotal time in American history. I think people will be studying this this time period a lot in the future as far as when the Jan 6 tapes came out. Kevin McCarthy removed from office. Mike Johnson comes in. Jan 6 tapes get released. The Supreme Court picks up this 1512 obstruction of Congress charge that 320... pictures have been charged. Now Vivek Ramaswamy coming out saying Jan 6 was the setup, and this shift that we're seeing in the public sphere where the pumping from our representatives in Congress about get to the bottom of January 6th, hold a new January 6th Select Committee hearing that's a fact-finding committee, not some propaganda farce, clown show that they put on. But, you know, disbar these federal judges and prosecutors that have been over-sentencing and overcharging the Jan 6. I mean, massive... actually coming to fruition. And so I want to encourage everybody out there, don't lose hope, guys. We're starting to see a shift. The railroading that the January 6ers have been subject to by the United States government, the weaponization of our federal law enforcement, the FBI, Gestapo, and the corrupt Department of Justice, all of this stuff is being exposed through our persecution. The American people, you guys, are not going to sit back idly watch it happen. We're seeing everyone stand up, demand accountability, demand of the people that are responsible for this injustice, this miscarriage of the highest proportion, be held responsible for their actions and the Jan Sixers be vindicated and set free. And so that's where we're at right now. And I want to just, that's the hope we've got to hold on to. There's light at the end of the tunnel. The Supreme Court's going to find us not guilty of the 1512 obstruction of Congress, 20-year maximum felony, and hundreds of Jan Sixers are going to be released from prison that day. And, you know, we speak that to God's ears right now because he's the one that controls their hearts.
So
that's the message, Ian, the message of hope and of championship.
Yeah, and Jake, I appreciate you doing what you're doing, but obviously you're in solitary confinement right now, but they allow you to make phone calls. Describe that.
Yeah, so there's a little tablet they give you. It charges $3 per hour to use it, $2 per phone call on top of that. So it's an extortion racket, just like with food that I'm forced to buy in here and the hygiene products and the clothing just to keep myself alive in here. Cost thousands of dollars a year. All the Jan Sixers have to go through that same extortion, our families at home for being political prisoners. And that's actually why we created the J6 sponsorship program, where you can actually sponsor a January Sixer and take care of their commentary and help them out. So if you guys go to sponsorj6.com, that's sponsorj6.com, you can go on there, pick a package like $20 a month, $50 a month, whatever you can afford, whatever God puts on your heart to do, and you can have a real impact on the life of one of the 240 Jan Sixers that are currently incarcerated in 60 different prisons across America, including right here in Washington, D.C. jail, Gulag, where there are 40 of us being held. So, guys, go to sponsorj6.com. That's a huge, huge place where we're seeing a lot of success, and it's helping the Jan Sixers so much. And Ian, I thank you for having me on your program, brother.
Yeah,
it's been a blessing, and you're a real patriot.
You're welcome. Let's take 30 seconds, sir, if you've got it. Just describe to listeners, because we'll try to reconnect with you, Jake. And I know you've been very prudent in getting on Discuss Your Truth. But Jake, describe real quick what the association is with Patrick Byrne. What's he got going for you guys?
Oh, yeah. So we have the Commissary Fund is one of our great, great organizations that I help run. And the Legal Fund is another one. So Patrick Byrne recently pledged to donate $500,000 to the J6 Legal Fund if we can get our fund up to $500,000 by this Sunday night. And we're well on our way. We've already raised like $80,000 out of we're at like $360,000 or something like that, $350,000 right now. So we need about another $150,000 from you guys out there, the supporters out there, to make this goal so we get that donation from Patrick. So, guys, go on to j6legal.org if you want to donate to the Legal Fund for the Jan 6 prisoners. That's j6legal.org. They're both great places to help out the Jan 6ers. Sponsor j6.com and j6legal.org. And I'm eternally grateful for people who help out the Jan 6ers. You guys are the reason why we stood up and fought against this tyranny in the first place, the awesome Americans.
Jake, thanks for joining the program. We'll bring you back on in the future and keep in touch with you. Some last final comments that you want listeners to take away with. And like I said, I'll stay in touch with you. We'll bring you back on. Some last comments from you, Jake.
Yes, sir. Let's make America godly again. Let's make America respect our relationship with Jesus Christ again and put him at the top place in our hearts every day, because that's truly what's going to give America a revival and bring us back to a place of sanity when we put God back in his rightful place in our lives and in our country. And I thank you, Ian, and God bless America.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jake Link. Thank you, Jake. Okay, well, there you have it. This is the first episode that I've done. I've been doing Discussions of Truth now since 2016. The first episode was January, I think, 3rd of 2017. I began the agreement with Wynwood Radio 2016. So it was technically founded in the podcast itself. Wasn't always called Discuss Your Truth, the podcast. So 2016, first episode, 2017. First guest was Miriam Henning. You know, there's like John Kerouac, there's a number of, he's a former CIA operative. There's a number of incredible guests that have joined this program over the years. And this happens to be the first episode done on, dedicated solely to the J6. They call it J6. This is the moniker, acronym. I'm not sure which one of those is appropriate, but J6 refers to January 6th of 2021. So this is the first episode dedicated to that that involves someone who has been incarcerated and is incarcerated. One of the recent episodes that I've done regarding J6 was with Jeff Zink's son. And he has, unfortunately, been sentenced, I think it's to something like 27 years and I'm not sure which jail or prison he's been sentenced to, but Jeff is running for a congressional seat in Arizona. A U.S. congressional seat. Jeff's son conducted absolutely no acts of violence. Sounds like, from Jake's review of his experience of that day, that he was almost forced into a position of defending himself and defending some other people regarding this woman that he spoke of, right? I was not at that event that day. I don't know what happened there at the Capitol that day. I wasn't there. But I can say, ladies and gentlemen, that the dichotomy, the divide that is currently taking place in this country, it really is quite, it's frankly, it's disgusting, isn't it? But that is why voices like mine seem to carry some weight, right? Because, like I said, the mainstream media, that paints a narrative that is a narrative that strengthens a European narrative. Let's go back in history just real quick. 1620s, the Mayflower set sail to escape that European tyranny, folks. That is the operational mechanics. Those are the operational mechanics on which the United States operates. Its constitution, ratified in, get this right, 1889, I believe. It's initiated in 1887. That constitution has long over not represented the government that the people are supposed to operate for themselves. And, you know, we can go back to the War Act during the New Deal of FDR's administration. By and large, this is an effort to centralize government in the United States. A democratic republic, which is what the United States is a constitutional republic, which operates off democratic principles. Every voice heard, every vote counted for, has been slipping away from America for decades, but it has now come to light under the Trump administration and certainly the contrast with the Biden administration, more so than ever. And a lot of that has to do with advances in technology, like I was mentioning yesterday, if you listen to my episode, which is something called technocracy. It's the emergence and integration of how the human being operates and transacts with the planet, yet you're now inserting advances in technology, right? So that's a whole different ball game, right? So a lot of this has to do with the digitization of the voting system, if you will. But let me mention Vote Scam, a book written by the Collier brothers, is an excellent resource that describes that the voting system in the United States has long been manipulated by advances in technology, in particularly through international business models, IBM, and the mainstream media. So, as much as the socialist movement in the United States aims to destroy history, folks, you destroy history, then you're destroying your own ability to educate yourself. There's no better way to prepare for tomorrow than studying yesterday. There's no better way. No better way. My condolences to men like Jake. Ashley Babbitt's mother is a former guest on the program. Had time with her in Las Vegas, and I believe that's an episode that you can grab on Citizen Media News. If you have the ability, definitely do please support Jake Lang. He's a political prisoner in many regards. There's just absolutely no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. There's simply no doubt about that. This is the type of thing that happens in a banana republic. Right? This is the type of thing that happens in a socialist, and Jake referred to it as a coup. What I will tell you is that the day that John F. Kennedy died, I believe it was November 22nd, was it 63? I get that right? Get that year right? 61, 63? That was a massive coup. But the real coup d'etat, to use that French phrase, the real coup that happened in the United States was in December. Was it the 22nd? That's good. I'm going to look that up right for you right now, actually. The real coup that happened in this country, the actual coup d'etat happened December 23rd of 1913. What happened December 23rd of 1913 was the Federal Reserve Act going into law. It had been passed, Act of Congress, everything legitimate and legal. Yet it was illegal in the fact that it opposes Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution. So the deep state, I urge you to listen to some of my other episodes, because the deep state has actively been trying to destroy and manipulate and destroy the United States since it was conceived. Essentially, and Josh Yoder is a friend of mine, and he's an airline pilot that stands up for mandates. Josh Yoder, I was explaining this to him about 2 years ago now, and he says, "Do you mean that the United States never received its independence?" And folks, yes, in with lack of a better way of putting it, the United States is still at war with England. And they're in an economic war. They're in a banking war. And there's not a single person in this country or world that can prove otherwise, unless the Federal Reserve Act is repealed. And the people controlling it are revealed. Anthony Sabatini. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. There's no way around to prove me wrong. Guarantee you. I guarantee you there's no way to prove me wrong, unless you can peel back the mask and the facade of the players behind the Federal Reserve Act. And I would guarantee you that they are various foundations like the Rockefeller Foundation, like George Soros Open Borders, like his Open Borders Foundation, the various Rothschild foundations. Those are the players behind, those are the money manipulators behind the Federal Reserve. They manipulate the United States into these egregious wars, these ridiculous, you know, Vietnam, Iraq, Gulf, Afghanistan. These are ridiculous, absurd wars that the United States has no business being involved in. But until America can really begin to pierce the heart of the problem, which is what I just told you, it will continuously be running around in a circle like a dog chasing its tail. And things like what happened to Jake will continue to happen to otherwise innocent people, innocent Americans. I have no reason to believe that Mr. Lang is a threat to society. Now, that's based off of what may have happened in his life prior to the January 6th event that he partook in, okay, and he was part of. I really don't know, other than what he said, I don't know what happened that day. So I'm not going to be any type of judge on that. But I suspect that he had no desire to get involved in any type of malicious engagement against his country. What he has since discovered is that the corruption is a little bit, yeah, it's a little too far out there. However, you know, the average American is not going to sense any real threat. I think, you know, the border, the open border, these groups like the BLM, the Antifa groups. I mean, like I'm saying, the contrast is becoming pretty apparent to most people now. But the real issue at hand here, the real problem, you know, there's always going to be corruption in large organizations and any type of large corporation and any type of federal agency. There's always going to be corrupt players. It's just the way it is. There's always going to be a guy threatening your kid or a woman or female or whatever it is. There's always going to be somebody wanting to rob for milk money, right? There's always going to be law bending. There's always going to be that. It's just whether it's in an organization or it's at a school or it's in town or it's at a clothing store or it's at a grocery store, there's always going to be lawlessness, right? To some degree. But what's happening now is I think it's becoming apparent that the country is just becoming divided. So I think a lot of people should just choose not to talk politics. What I try to convey through Discussions of Truth, what I try to convey is, folks, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't about politics. Yeah, sure, you can have it about politics, but that's why you know, freedom of speech, freedom of press is so important, so that people can contrast, compare, debate. That's healthy. What's not healthy is when your country is controlled economically by an enemy and you don't realize it. And I'm going to wrap the message up right there with that. I'm going to wrap the episode up with what I just told you right there. Take that to heart. There's a number of articles that I've written at IanTrottier.com that explain what I just said to you. The fact that we're speaking a language that represents those pilgrims shows a lot of light. You got to look into the history. You got to dig. You got to look in the past to understand, to help you explain what you're living today. So Jake's doing good work. If you can support him, support him. If you can support LifeSanta.org, that's Doug Osmond. Support Doug. Helping provide shelter to homeless children. That was yesterday's episode. And simply just do what you can do to make the country a safe, peaceful, great place for everyone to live. Right? That's what it's all about at the end of the day. But if you start taking away people's constitutional rights, there's problems. My main message, again, is that the economics of the government of the United States, $33+ trillion debt. It's no secret here, folks. What I'm telling you is that it's controlled by an enemy. And the enemy is European. The enemy is not American. And yes, what Josh Schroeder said. Yes, no, the United States is not independent. The United States has its geographic independence, but it does not have its operational independence. It does not have its economic independence. Period. And until and if that changes, this country will not survive. Plain and simple. It might survive a generation, might survive two generations, might survive more, but it's not going to survive for long. That must change for this country to retain its, status as a country, or its corporational organization, governing organization. Federal Reserve Act is not repealed and something new put in place, the United States of America will not survive. And I will tell you this much. If the Federal Reserve Act does get repealed, the shape of the United States is going to change, because states like California, states like New York, they're basically socialist, globalized countries of their own. So what happens in the future is determined on how people like you and me, primarily you, study the past. That'll wrap it. That'll do it for Discuss the Truth. It's my honor, pleasure to do this for you and provide this for you, and I hope that makes you a better person. IanTrache.com, and if you go to the library, research library tab, I have hundreds of books, a couple hundred books, I'd say, PDF, free to access. Educate yourself on those books. I've spent years aggregating them, years collecting them, and providing links for you to educate yourself on. And I've written the articles, which I think will benefit you as well. Until next time, folks, this has been Jake Lang, and listen to yesterday's episode with Doug Osmond, IanTrache for Discuss the Truth. Be awesome.